This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, so before we go to the questions, I would like to make a comment on this flower and the kufiya that you see on my vest over here, because I know some people were asking, what is that exactly? What does it mean? I don't know how many of you know that, but tomorrow, July 11th, does it ring a bell to you guys? July 11th? Does this symbol, do you recognize this symbol? What does it mean exactly? Does it have any meaning to you? What about the other one? This one, what does it mean to you? This was very clear, right? This is the Palestine with the Kufiya. And this one, Bosnia. Srebrenica particularly. Tomorrow, July 11th, will commemorate 29 years memory of the genocide and the massacre that happens to the Muslims of Bosnia and Srebrenica, in which more than 8,000 men and young men and boys were massacred and killed systematically for days in the mountains there in Srebrenica. Alhamdulillah, I was blessed and privileged to go after the war and serve in Bosnia for 4 years, in which I was able to meet a lot of these refugees and survivors from the massacre, and met with many of them. SubhanAllah, during my time there, I was never able to go to Srebrenica because the political climate was not clear yet, so the path to Srebrenica was banned. Until later on, we were visited afterwards, alhamdulillah. It's open right now for public to go. And there is a memorial for the survivors, for the victims of Srebrenica. Inshallah, we're going to be taking a group on August, bidnillah azza wa jal, and visit Bosnia again and be there with the people. So I just want you to remember that unfortunately, our history repeats itself. Right now, the genocide is on our brother's sister in Gaza, and the people are watching. Just like people watch what happened in Srebrenica, and the international community failed the people of Srebrenica back in 1995, and they're failing the people of Gaza today in 2024, unfortunately. And we're just watching, and no one really doing enough to prevent this genocide from continuing and this injustice to take place against our brothers in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah to protect them and shield them and all those oppressed around the world. The wounds of the Ummah are many, Ya Jama'ah, whether it's in Yemen, in Syria, in Kashmir, in Somalia, in the Rohingya, in China. There are many, Allah musta'an. But this one in particular keep bleeding, the one in Gaza and in Palestine in general. And I feel it's kind of like, subhanAllah, the irony is that around that same time, we remember also again the genocide in Srebrenica. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy and rahmah those who pass in that year, Rabbil Alameen, and protect our ummah from any of these to come again and happen to them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So please remember them in your dua, inshallah. Naam. Question, if we should not scrutinize the food offered by a Muslim for halal haram, why did Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu do so? And if he did because of his high piety standard, can we do the same, aspiring for the same level? Who can tell me why Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? Okay, what's going on here? MashaAllah. Okay. That was interesting. All right. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, remember the story of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq when he ate something and he asked his servant, where this from? He goes, from Kahana, from sorcery he did before in the past. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he put his finger in his mouth and he threw up whatever that is that he could, and he asked Allah forgiveness for whatever went to the blood and the flesh. Why would Abu Bakr as-Siddiq do that, Jama'ah? I mean, do you have to? It's already in your mouth, in your stomach. You don't have to throw up. But he did that as his level of wara. Which level of wara was that to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? At what level was that? The second one. Not the Siddiqin. Actually, the second, which is ash-shubuhat. Even though it's a doubtful matter, but he wanted to get it out. But he's, of course, he was a Siddiqin yani himself. But that degree is at least that the practice of as-salihin, like Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah mentioned. So he did that radiallahu anhu as a wara from his part. So how can we aspire to get to that level? There's no doubt, like we said, keep practicing the spirituality, keep avoiding the haram and even the halal, not the doubtful matters, in order for you to stay away from the haram. You can stay away from the halal as well too, and some of the halal, without being extreme, though. And if you choose to do this for yourself, don't force this on your family. Just take it easy on them, inshallah ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from Ya Rabbil Alameen. How do you know if you have crossed over from wara' to ghurur in the deen? Allah subhanahu says in the Quran, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا وَلَا أَوْقَى مَعَادِيرًا. If you care about people's praise, and it worries you but when people criticize you, then there's something wrong with your intentions. And the ulama, they say, you're good as long as people's praise or reproach are equal to you. If we may ask the parents, inshallah, to keep the kids with them, جزاكم الله خير until we're done, barakallah feekum, inshallah. I'm sure they came with parents, yani, I hope. All right, so once again, if a person here, again, if the person is pleased by people's praise and always feels sad for people's reproach, then there is something with your intention. If you're doing something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it wouldn't affect you. Because if people, they criticize you for it, well, I didn't do it for them. I did it for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. However, we're human beings. If we do something good and we get praise from people and we feel good about it, it's okay. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith, قال, تَلْكَ عَادِيَ وَيُبَشُّ الْمُؤْمِنِ. That's a good news for the believer. But it shouldn't change the way you do things or make more of it just because of the praise of the people. You're doing it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. What should you do when you do everything for the sake of Allah and constantly remembering Him, and people around you start to feel overwhelmed, judging you, especially when you're looking for marriage? Okay, that's a kind of turn of event, yani, suddenly. Well, if you're doing things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't know, to be honest, what standard we're talking about. Are you talking about the first wara', the second level of wara', the third or the fourth level of wara'? I don't know which degree of wara' that you're talking about. So if you are, mashallah, at level 4, and people is still at minus 1 even, definitely there's a huge gap between what you do and what you do. Some of these people, they say, yeah, I can barely maintain the 5 daily prayers. You want me to stop eating apple and not drinking yani, orange juice because there's something yani, of taqwa or wara'an there? Take it easy on them. Help the people grow with you. And if they don't want to grow with you, then bismillah, just keep going, advance yourself. When it comes to marriage, look for someone at the same level around your level. Don't look for somebody way ahead of you, and don't look for someone way behind you, because both of them will be a liability on you. So look for someone around your level and then grow with them, inshallah ta'ala. Now, how should one go about wanting to teach something but fears they do not follow the best of it, like the highest level of prudence or wara'? Look, you have two obligations. Number one, to practice that which is good. Number two, to do amr ma'ruf and nahy an munkar, to enjoin good and forbid evil. If you're unable to practice what you order yourself, it doesn't mean you should not order people to do that which is good. For example, somebody's smoking. Someone smokes. Are they allowed to tell smokers, stop smoking, that's not good for you? Would that be hypocritical? No. It's not hypocritical as long as this individual doesn't like what he does and he wishes he could stop. Or at least he tries to stop, but he tells other people, don't do it, it's not good for you. Wallah, it's not good for you. But if a person practices haram, and they seek pleasure through that practice, and they had no intention of changing it, they have no right to ask people to stop from doing that, because now it becomes very hypocritical. Or someone tells people to wake up for tahajjud, and they never even make an intention to wake up for tahajjud. It's not like they could not. No, they don't have any intention to make tahajjud. So in this case, that would sound hypocritical. But overall, you should try your best, inshallah ta'ala, to practice what you preach as well too. Otherwise, if you couldn't, then do your best. What is the best way to practice wara' and OCD? Or that religious OCD. Well, I hope that the person that we're talking about here, they don't have any chemical imbalance, because sometimes OCD comes from chemical imbalance, hormonal imbalance. In this case, they need to seek professional help, and hopefully, inshallah, they can put a medication to help them balance those the OCD. But if it's a matter of being obsessed with halal and haram, like some people, subhanAllah, they become so obsessed of doing things right and staying away from that which is wrong, it cripples them to their life. They can't make anything right, because they start becoming worried about everything. They make wudu, they come back, was it good enough? Did I make it to my elbows? Well, I'm not sure. And then they see that there's some dryness over here. Did the water touch at this place? And they're going to make wudu 10 times. That becomes problematic here. Some people, they want to eat, they grab every box and they eat every single ingredient. And they keep, kind of making everything, and they check about everything. And they go to a restaurant, halal restaurant. It says halal restaurant. They ask them, are all the people Muslims over here? Are they serving, these utensils and so on and so on? Become so obsessed. That becomes problematic. Practice wara' within your own personal practice, your own personal life. Don't impose that on other people. Didn't the Prophet ﷺ, nothing is allowed, he didn't say probably maybe, nothing is allowed except that which is given willingly, so would not the transaction that had dhulm, oppression, be invalid? Yeah, well, that's why he said it's haram. So even though it looks like it's a legal transaction because it was an exchange of goods with money, but with the dhulm being attributed to the transaction itself, it becomes obvious haram. That's one of the examples of haram, not because of the intrinsic attribute of the essence of that commodity, but the attribute that was given to that transaction. So a question here about loyalty to the leaders. What if the leader of the Muslim country is not Allah adhering to Islamic values and doing injustice? Are we still expected to obey this ruler, considering that what happened in the Arab world, Arab Spring, and consequences of the uprising and so forth? Once again, the ulama, they say, يُغْتَفَرُ فِي الْأَثْنَاءِ مَلْ يُغْتَفَرُ فِي الْابْتِدَاءِ. That sometimes within the context of certain event, things are overlooked, but not in initiating those events. Meaning, if the ruler is still allowing people, alhamdulillah, to do the ibadah and their ta'ah and da'wah and everything and so on, but he himself practices maybe haram practice for himself. They drink. They practice riba or something like that and so on. But they still, everything, alhamdulillah, you're allowed to do. In this case, are you allowed to overthrow that person? The answer is no in this matter. But if people got fed up and sick and tired of this corruption, and eventually they revolted, are you allowed to participate to remove that injustice and bring a best ruler, better ruler? The answer is yes. We say, wait a minute, what about the cost of it? It might cost a lot of life and wealth and so on. Again, you don't initiate that, but it's already happening. So if you can bring the best out of it, it should be okay, inshallah ta'ala. Wallahu alam. Can you mix a wara' levels? For example, can you be at level 4 of wara' in terms of doing every single thing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but have no problem drinking grape juice? I guess so. Yeah, you can grape juice, inshallah ta'ala. I gave a grape juice as an example, jama'ah. It's not a standard of shubha, or wara'. But I would say, yes, you can still do that. But that person might avoid other kind of juices, but they still drink the grape juice. That's fine. Oh my God. As-salamu alaykum, Shaykh. Do you drink grape juice? Actually, I love it. But be careful. Don't leave it in the sun for too long, Jama'ah. If you leave it in the sun for too long and then you drink it, you're going to be a different person, because it becomes actually intoxicating. Is it halal to eat dead fish from the sea? It is, as long as it's not rotten. Like if, for example, you see a fish that is floating and it's not contaminated, but it just died right now, for example. Yeah, that's okay. That's what the meaning of the ayah. وَحِلَّ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. وَطَعَامُهُ in the ayah, he means the dead fish, actually. Actually, it happened in the time of the Prophet ﷺ when Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he went in an army of 400 people. And they were hungry. And they saw a big thing on the shore. They went there, it was a whale. And it was already dead on the shore. They ate for days until they became fat. And then they took some to the Prophet ﷺ as well too. How do you handle two parents with different levels of wara' when raising children? We're not better than Nuh alayhi salam, the most righteous of the Anbiya and Mursaleen, the five Ulul Azmin al-Rusul, and his wife was of the Kuffar. So you do your best, inshallah ta'ala, may Allah azza wa jalla make it easy for them. What does it mean that a hadith is hasanun sahih? This is a specific terminology used mostly by Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala. And the ulama, they have difference of opinion, what does it mean? So some they say hasanun sahih, which means hasan in terms of its of chain of narrators, but sahih in terms of its matin. And different views on what does it mean exactly. Like saying the chain is good, but the matin is strong. Why? Because it might have been mentioned in other narrations similarly, that makes it actually strong, but the chain itself is not the best yani chain. But it's still a good chain. Is earthly matters such as not sure that I understand the word. Is earthly matter such as halal goods? Or is that halal goods considered a burden on you on the day of judgment if you collect them? Or did the imam mean burden in sense of action and interaction? Well, if it's halal, I mean, it's not a burden. It's still halal, alhamdulillah. However, like we said, the more you consume of the halal, the more likely you're going to be questioned about it, even though it's halal. Alhamdulillah, your answer is clear, but you're probably going to be asked for it. And the less you carry with you, alhamdulillah, the better it is. Just like when you go and you travel, if you take a carry-on, you're not going to stop with the people who have luggage with them. And if you have even just a backpack, that's even easier for you. So the less the load, the faster you will go. How do we ensure that we are on the path of sunnah? We're going to talk more about it next week, inshallah ta'ala, as we talk about the sunnah of the Prophet and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Like I said, how does a higher level of wara' live with another wara', mostly husband, wife, and the community? Remember, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he was one of the most wari'een in the Sahaba time, radiallahu anhum. However, the standard of the community was not his standard. So he was kind of putting hardships on other people, keep advising, hey, you shouldn't be keeping this, you shouldn't be doing that. People complained. So they went to Uthman, the Khalifa, قالوا يا أمير المؤمنين يعني, could you please stop Abu Dharr from keep harassing us with our properties, our life, and this and that? And he called him, he goes, yeah, Abu Dharr, listen, didn't the Prophet ﷺ tell you when the city grow big until it reaches the Mount of Sal, you should leave? He remembered, he goes, yes, that's true. And he left. So if you're unable to live with people, go somewhere where you find people of the same level if you can. If not, then Nabi ﷺ says, الَّذِي يَخَالَطُ النَّاسِ وَأَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ أَدَاهُمْ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الَّذِي لَا يُخَالَطُ النَّاسِ وَأَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ أَدَاهُمْ. Someone who intermingles with people and endure patience over their hardships, better than someone who avoids them and stay alone. So stay with them and bear patience with them, inshallah. So the sunnah were five categories, we said. Linguistic, the faqih, the usulis, the muhaddithin, and the theologians. So the linguistic means a path. The faqih means mustahab, recommended. Usuli means anything the Prophet ﷺ said, did, or approved. Muhaddithin, anything the Prophet ﷺ said, did, approved, or described about him in terms of his manners or his physical description. Theologians means in aqidah, matters of aqidah, like sunnah versus shia versus khawarij, and so on. There's no sixth, so number five, actually. Can one still obtain the highest status out of four of the four, means the wara', regardless of the past, or is only a set of people? No, there are many ulama from the past, even such as Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, Abdullah ibn Mubarak,
Abdullah Mubarak was a highway robber. He was a highway robber. And then he had tawbah. He made the tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then became one of the greatest ulama of the ummah. So there's all, as long as you're still breathing and you're still alive, alhamdulillah, you have a chance to be among the wari'een, but you're going to have to practice a lot to get there, inshallah. May Allah make us among them, ya Rabbil Alameen. Does obey the rulers include the imam and the leadership of the masjid? There are two types of leadership here. We have the absolute, which is the imam of the khalifa and the, of the ummah, which we don't have, unfortunately. And we have also the other leadership, which is, of course, to keep order. So it's considered public leadership here. So the masjid is public leadership, for example. If you have an organization, there is public leadership. If you're in a company, that's a private leadership. So that's, it's up to you. There's a regulation there. There's corporate bylaws and so forth. But overall, if we look for these, for example, the masjid, then definitely it is also considered part of the jama'ah, that leader, that obedience actually is reasonable. Again, bil ma'ruf, and that which is considered reasonable. What makes it reasonable? If we have bylaws, if we have rules and all these things that we all adhere to, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, brings law and order, as long as in the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, so this also includes announcing Eid, Ramadan, and so on. Just follow your jama'ah and your community and your imams. You'll be fine. So is al-haram al-mahd, is it just the one where intrinsically haram, like alcohol intoxication, also the one where non-intrinsic attributes is haram, like the example you gave, forcing someone? Both of them, like we said, because the haram al-mahd can be because of the intrinsic attribute to the mat, to the commodity itself, or the attribute that was that is part of the transaction or the action itself. Okay, mashallah, the questions are many. So we leave some for next week, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Yeah.